Grace and peace to you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our story today begins in fear. The disciples have seen the worst that the world have to offer. They are in fear for their safety because they are associated with this man who has been executed as a criminal. And so they fear both the Jewish leaders and the Roman authorities. But even more than that, they are in grief. They are in turmoil. What has happened? This Jesus, this friend whom they loved, has been killed. But even more, this Messiah in whom they have put their hope is gone. And it all has come to nothing. And they don't know what's going to happen next or where to go from here or what to do with their faith and what they had believed about Jesus. And so they huddle here in this fear for their lives and for their futures and not knowing what will happen next. And then suddenly Jesus is among them and he says to them, "Peace be with you." And he shows them his hands and, "Look, it's really me." And then he says again, "Peace be with you." What Jesus offers in response to their fear and uncertainty is peace. Now, if you remember in all those words, all those chapters that Jesus says to his disciples when he has his last meal with them, one of the things that he said to them was, "I will give you my peace, not as the world gives. So do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid." So here, the response to fear is the offer of peace. Now, we often think of peace as an absence of conflict or an absence of trouble, an absence of worry. The tranquility and calm of things kind of going along well. But Jesus offers a different peace. The word that he says is shalom, which in Hebrew is a greeting, kind of like, you know, aloha kind of means everything all at once, but shalom. And as he repeats that, it kind of takes that weight of the blessing, right? Peace be with you. And shalom means more than just, oh, the peace of things are going along pretty well, or, you know, that we don't have any conflict, but it is an inward sense of completeness or wholeness. The risen Christ, when Jesus comes to them, he restores wholeness and completeness to life, right? Not just to their lives, to their fear and uncertainty, but really to the whole world. This world that had tilted wrong on its axis with his death has become right again. And there's this sense of restoration. So to offer shalom means to offer wholeness, to make things right. And yet we know that Jesus has come back, but there is still all of the fear, the anger, the everything that went into killing Jesus is all still out there, right? Like everything doesn't just get easy. And we all kind of know that in our lives too. There's very rarely like everything's going great, especially if you're paying attention to the news. But shalom is not a peace that means there is no trouble, but a peace in the midst of the trouble. That is the peace that Jesus can offer us, that even in the trouble, even in the challenges that we face, we are invited to abide in Jesus. To bring Jesus in on all our troubles. God can handle it, whatever it is, our anger, our fear, our grief, our uncertainty. And when we bring God into that, we can have a peace that is indeed not what the world gives, not based on our circumstances of life, but based on our deep relationship with Jesus Christ. So Jesus gives his blessing of peace, and then in the same breath, he sends them out to continue his work. He says, "Peace I give to you, as the Father has sent me, so I send you." He has told them to love one another even as he has loved them. He has told them to bear fruit, to the fruit of love and compassion and justice and peace. This is the fruit of being a part of the vine, right? You remember there again, back to this farewell discourse. I am the vine and you are the branches. And the fruit that you bear will be this love and peace in the world. And so now he sends them out to do the work of peacemaking, of making shalom, wholeness and rightness in the world. Professor Elizabeth Johnson wrote, "The good news of Easter is never simply the assurance that God has conquered death. It is also a statement about mission. Jesus' resurrection implicates all of us who would follow him in mission, drawing us into the orbit of God's love for the world and empowering us by the Spirit to love as God loves us." Going out into the world to love as God loves. We've heard that before, right? But what really caught me in my reading this week was that the world that Jesus is sending them into is the very world that they were huddled in fear of just moments ago. And, you know, Jesus' resurrection has changed things, but not really everything out there. And really the same is true for us, I think. The disciples then and now can see the real violence and greed and hatred and suffering that surrounds us in the world. And so how do we go out into this world that can be very fearful, this world that can cause a lot of turmoil, with a message of love and peace? How do we go out to make shalom in such a broken world? And the answer is that we don't do it by ourselves, and we probably can't do it by ourselves, but that we have a gift from Jesus, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that is what allows us to do this work. So Jesus has blessed his disciples with peace and called them or sent them to follow, and then he gives them a gift. If you remember, at the Last Supper, he has promised not to leave them alone, but to send the Spirit, the Advocate, to be with them. And so now Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, in all the work we've been doing with the Old Testament in this narrative lectionary, I hope that this brings to mind that story in Genesis, right? When God makes out of clay that human one, and there's this human being, and God breathes into it, and it becomes, it gives it life, right? Or in Ezekiel, when Ezekiel sees the vision and there's the valley filled with dried bones, the remnants of the people of Israel, and they are dry and gone. And he says, prophesy that they come together. And so the bones knit together and there's sinew and muscle and there's all these human beings, but they're still just dead flesh. And then the breath of God, the Spirit of God, breathes into them and gives them life, right? This is the Spirit that Jesus breathes on his disciples, then and now. In this week's Working Preacher podcast, Professor Caroline Lewis says, "How will peace be possible? Peace is possible because the Spirit is present. In the farewell discourse, Jesus says he will send another paraclete. Jesus has been the paraclete, the one who walks alongside you and guides you and teaches and comforts and aids and intercedes and advocates. Now they get the Spirit in them." The promise of resurrection is not just that the tomb is empty, but that Jesus' presence in the Spirit and within you is an ongoing and life-giving reality. It is the season of Easter, my friends. It is the season of resurrection and new life. And the new life that Jesus offers is a life filled with peace and hope and promise, a life filled with service and love and making shalom in the world. As Jesus said on that first Easter day, Jesus says to all of his followers throughout the ages and to each one of you, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. And filled with the Holy Spirit, abiding in love and the peace of the risen Christ, we go out from this place to share the love and peace with the world God loves. Thanks be to God. Amen.